The word of our God. The title of my message today is Built Upon the Spirit, in keeping with the theme for this Missions Sunday, with the emphasis on the work of the Spirit in our lives. I'm going to deviate from my written introduction just a bit to share this story. Someone told me the other day that this mouse trap that had been set had a mouse on it. And I said, okay, well, go take the mouse trap and take the mouse off and throw the mouse in the garbage can. And they said, oh, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching that thing. I'm not going to touch that. I said, well, let me go see. And so I went to go see the mouse trap with the tiny little mouse on it. And I had a, you know, some kind of wipe in my hand. I picked up the mouse trap and I said, here, take it. All you got to do is throw it in the garbage can, throw the mouse away. And this person just would not even come near the mouse trap. Now, mind you, the person is much taller than I am and much younger and can run faster, but was scared by this tiny little mouse. We were able to get rid of the mouse on the mouse trap because I accompanied this young man to the room where the mouse was. Sometimes when you're afraid, even of a tiny little mouse, even if you're 6 feet 4 inches tall, you need somebody to accompany you, somebody that will give you a sense of comfort and protection so that you're not afraid of the tiny little mouse, the dead tiny little mouse coming after you and nibbling on your shoes. There's a sense in which this comfort that you have when you're afraid of something, when you want somebody to go with you, speaks to the role and function of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. In the King James Version, the Bible calls the Spirit a comforter. And that word comforter sort of gives us a sense of what you read in the responsive reading, the God of all comfort. But it really means more than just a comforter in the sense of comforting someone who is afraid or who is nervous. The word comforter really means an advocate, a counselor, someone who accompanies you on a difficult journey. I know that when many of us think of the Holy Spirit, some folk in our tradition only think about the Spirit when folk begin to shout in worship. Or when worship is lively and spirited, we say, well, the Spirit was high today. But we have to expand our thinking about the role and the place of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. And one scholar has suggested a word that I think is really keen about the role of the Spirit. He has suggested that the Holy Spirit is the primary activator in the life of the church. And I like that word, activator. You know what an activator is, don't you? An activator is something or someone that makes something active or causes it to act. Now, you might not get it, you know, with just that, but years ago when I was much younger and had a full head of hair, folk used to get what are called Jerry curls for their hair. Now, some of you young people might not know about a Jerry curl, but you remember that movie Coming to America, and there was this guy, this star in the movie, who had this Jerry curl, and I can remember folk with Jerry curls, and they would be dripping all on the shoulders and all on the backs of the sofas and everything. And, you know, so if your hair was nappy and knotty, you would put this activator on it, and the activator would make it curly and make it manageable. Now, mind you, I never had a Jerry curl. I had the hair for it. I have the photos to show that I had the hair for it, but I never had a Jerry curl. And I tell you, they ought to bring Jerry curls back because these extensions, I tell you, they're not making the hair grow, but the Jerry curl grew some hair back in the day. That's not my paper. some folk will put an activator in their hair to straighten it out. So an activator is what brings about an action or causes something to work. And this scholar is suggesting that the Holy Spirit is the primary activator for the community of believers. But what does the Spirit activate? I'm glad you asked. The Spirit activates several things. Let's just begin with the basics about the activating work of the Spirit. It begins with the Spirit activating our confession of faith in Christ. The text says, "And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So that the primary confession of faith is Jesus is Lord. And how does a person move from no faith to confessing faith? And the answer is through the agency and activity of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart. Long before we join a church, long before we shout in church, the Spirit of God works in the heart of a person to activate faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus says in John 16, 7 and 8, where he says, "But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate or counselor or comforter in King James will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he," that's the Spirit is a person, "when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." You see, after Jesus is crucified, after his resurrection, Jesus returns to heaven. And he sends the Holy Spirit to convict or to convince the heart about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, Jesus says, "I will send you another comforter to convince you about sin, righteousness." He says another because he is the comforter while he's in the world. But when he goes back to heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit as another comforter to come and convict us about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Spirit works in a person's heart, molding and convincing that person to confess Jesus as Lord, so that it is only under the influence of the Holy Spirit that persons come to faith and are saved. Now, that's something. Because some of you thought that the Holy Ghost was just something that happened on Sunday morning that stopped by but didn't stay long. But the work of the Holy Spirit is not about making you shout. First, it's about convicting your heart about sin and leading you to a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when I say confession, I'm not saying something that we merely recite, that we merely say the words, "Jesus is Lord." When the Spirit convicts you in your heart and you confess Jesus as Lord, it's also a surrendering. It means surrendering your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. And the Spirit activates that surrender. When I was younger, I thought that people became Christians based upon a sermon or a testimony or a song. I thought that effective preaching and effective witnessing were the instruments to lead persons to faith. I now know that I was wrong with that. Preaching and witnessing serve to present the gospel, but it is the Spirit who takes the message and convinces and convicts the heart of a person. So somebody didn't get saved just because you preached a powerful sermon. They got saved because the Holy Ghost took that sermon and stirred on the inside of your heart and convicted you about salvation in Jesus Christ. It is God in the preaching. It is God in the witnessing that brings a person to a confession of faith. So at the first fundamental thing about the Spirit's activating role is the activating of the confession of faith, leading that person to faith. And then second, the Spirit also activates diversity within the community of believers. Listen to what the text says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So first, the Spirit works to bring us to faith. And once we are in the community of believers, once we have accepted Christ by faith, then the Spirit produces in us a variety of activities and service. The Spirit activates diversity among believers by giving each believer a Spirit gift. Now, some of us say a gift of the Spirit, but I like to say a Spirit gift, that charismata, that Spirit gift or ability. And we don't all get the same gifts or abilities. One person gets the gift of healing. Another person gets the gift of wisdom. Another person gets the gift of hospitality. Another person gets the gift of discernment. The result is a spirit-activated diversity in the church. The church, therefore, isn't designed to display uniformity where we all look, speak, think, and act the same. Instead, the church displays what one scholar calls pluriformity, diversity or a variety of expressions of the Spirit. As the Spirit works in us, he creates a community that is diverse and filled with creative variety, and this diversity makes us more effective for the kingdom of God. We can all wear the same uniforms, but we're not all gifted the same by the Holy Spirit. We can all march together. We can all sing together, but we're not all gifted the same by the Holy Spirit. I was talking with someone recently, and I might have mentioned it to you before, but you know, I'm old now, so I will repeat myself. I was talking with someone about the Black Lives Matter movement, and he said to me, "Ricky, when I look at you, I don't see color." And I told him, "If you don't see color, then you don't see me." And I understand what he was trying to say. He was trying to say that color doesn't factor into his relationship with me. And I know he was trying to say it, but that isn't true. But there's nothing wrong with color being a factor. My color is a part of my particularity. The issue with race isn't about the diversity of color. That's what God intended. The issue is about the inequities that result on the basis of color. And those inequities are what cause a black man wanted on a warrant. Now, he was wanted on a warrant without a weapon in his hand to be shot 7 times in the back. While a 17-year-old white man who kills 2 people and injures a 3rd person can walk freely while brandishing a rifle, even in front of the police. If we learn to respect and embrace our diversity, we will have better relations in the world. And so the Spirit intentionally creates and activates diversity within the community of believers. Let me say something further. So he activates our confession. He creates diversity by gifting us in the body of Christ. And then the Spirit binds the community of believers as one united force for Christ. So the text says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The question becomes, with all of this diversity and variety in the community of believers, what holds us together? And the Spirit is the agent of unity. There can be no unity, no oneness in the church apart from the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is the binding agent that holds us together, how does the Spirit do it? How does he bind us as one? Well, when we confess that Jesus is Lord and receive Christ by faith, we undergo a spirit baptism. He says, by one spirit, while you're all baptized into one body. And so that through that baptism, we become members of the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about members of a local church, because there's a difference in being a member of a local church and being a member of the body of Christ. To become a member of a local church, you just come down the aisle and give the minister your hand and state your intentions of being a part. And I understand that sometimes it's tantamount to your confession of faith, but sometimes there is no confession. You just join church because somebody said it's time for you to get baptized and join a church. But being a member of the body of Christ comes through the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we all are united to Christ's body. And that baptism forever links us to all believers in all places. So all Christians are united by a spirit baptism. And then after the Spirit baptizes us into the body, he gives us these spirit gifts or these abilities that I mentioned earlier. And the thing about the gift is he attaches the same purpose to every gift. Now, every gift doesn't serve the same function. The gift of healing serves a different function than the gift of administration. And the gift of administration serves a different function than the gift of hospitality. But I said each gift is attached by the same purpose. And that purpose is to build up the body of Christ. So whatever gift you're given is not given for you as an individual. It's given to make the body of Christ, the church, stronger and more effective. It belongs to the entire community of believers. Your gift is not to make you look good. So if you're gifted today and you want to show off and you want to look good and you want to get all the applause, then you've got the wrong spirit. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. The gift is to make the church more effective in ministry. So the Spirit doesn't gift us to create with diversity to produce a group of separated and gifted folk. Look at some of us sitting around in the church, as my late pastor would say, looking all wise and otherwise. Sitting up there with our gifts. I'm gifted and you're not. He's not trying to make us sit around and be separated from each other. He creates a diversity in unity so that the combination of all our gifts makes us more effective. The Holy Spirit binds us together. Holy Spirit binds us together as one body in Jesus Christ, one body made up of many parts. Now, let me talk about this binding and this unity in a plainer way. AT&T has installed Google Fiber in our church. I think that's what it's called. AT&T Fiber. Thank you, Spears, for Wi-Fi. And they installed a central box in the room behind the education building where our furnaces are located. And if we want to access the central box and want Wi-Fi to be in our sanctuary and in the education building, we have to run wires from the central box to the sanctuary and from the central box to the education building. Without running the wires to the sanctuary will not be on the same frequency as the rest of the church building. Thank you. The sanctuary will not be on the same frequency as the education building and the office. Now, the central blocks is already in place. And it already has the capacity, all the capacity that we need, but we've got to get connected to the central box. Because if we're not connected, even though it has all the capacity, we will not get the Wi-Fi in here, and we will not get it throughout the rest of our building. And for the church, the Holy Spirit is the central box. And if we want to be connected to God and connected to each other, we've got to be connected to the Holy Spirit. He is the activator in the life of the church. I'm almost done. But one more thing about the Spirit that isn't explicit in the text, it's implied. And that is the power of the Spirit. The text says in verse 11, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. the work of one and this, he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I want to focus on that word work, because the Greek word for work denotes energy. It really is the word from which we get the word energy or power supply. So the word implies energy supply. The Spirit as activator is the one who does the work, who supplies the energy behind what we do. This implies the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has power. The Spirit also conveys power. So the capacity to use our gifts doesn't come from us. It comes from the Spirit. What makes us effective for the kingdom are not our natural abilities or our experience or our training or our connections. What makes us effective in the church is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's why the text in 1 Peter and Harmony spoke about God's divine power, that Christ's divine power has given us everything we need to get the job done. Our ministries are built upon the foundation of power. Our lives are built upon the foundation of power, the power of the Holy Spirit. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Spirit has his own plan. Quit trying to work out your plan. Find the plan of the Spirit. And if the Spirit has a plan, he also has the power to carry out that plan. Two people years ago in the University of Chicago stood to recite the 23rd Psalm. And one of them was an uneducated old man. The other was a young learned scholar. And the scholar went first. He stood erect. He was eloquent. He was clear. He enunciated with specificity. And then he gave a recitation of the 23rd Psalm. And he went and took his seat. And the young man got a rousing applause from the audience. But then the old man got up there and recited the same song. He wasn't standing erect. His body was bent over with the weight of age and time. He was nervous and he was timid. And his voice trembled and was low. He wasn't as loud and as strong as the young man. And he started by saying, "The Lord is," and stopped there. Even though there's no comma there, he stopped and paused a little while after he said, "The Lord is," and broke up the psalm. And when he got finished, there was no applause from the audience members. And the reason is the audience members were so overcome by emotion and tears, they were crying instead of applauding. And someone said, "Why was the old man so effective? Why was he more effective than this young man who stood there and recited this song?" And the answer said, came, "Well, the young man knew the psalm, but the old man knew the shepherd. The young man spoke in his own ability, but the young man spoke under the power of the Holy Spirit." We need God in our preaching. We need God in our ministries. We need God in our plans and serving. The power comes from God. When we have divine power, it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what neighborhood we come from. It doesn't matter whether we graduated college or seminary. It doesn't matter what pedigree we promote. When we have the power of the Holy Spirit, when we operate under the anointing of God, God's blessings will flow and ministry takes place. When we operate under the anointing, sick folk are healed and broken lives are mended. When we operate under the power of God, things happen and things change. I'm praying for Christ to give us power. We've got enough attitude to last a lifetime. We've got enough ability to last a lifetime. We've got enough money to last a lifetime. But what we need is anointing. What we need is power. What we need is the Spirit of God to work on us. Christ, give us power.
power of the Holy Ghost. Christ, give us power, power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're here today listening to me, let me talk to you for just a moment further. And let me say to you that this Christ we preach can be your Christ. He can come into your heart wherever you are. You don't have to be in a church building. You don't even have to be with a preacher or even a Christian. You just have to listen to the voice of God in your heart through the Spirit and say to him, Jesus, come in. I surrender my life to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want you to walk with me. And when you make that surrender, that's when your journey with Christ begins. Beloved, we extend this invitation to you. You're invited not only to be a part of Ebenezer, to be a part of our Christian family, but most of all to be a part of God's family. There's something God wants you to do with your life. He has a gift for you. He has a ministry for you, and he has power for you. Let the Spirit speak to you and share that resource with the world. You can connect with us, beloved, on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can connect with us on Facebook. You can call the church. You could speak to a minister. You can join our church family, and you can walk with God and walk with us. We invite you, and God bless you. Please become a part of our listening family. Please get our channel and subscribe to our channel. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Whatever it takes, we invite you to come. God bless you, and may God keep you.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. He will give.